The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes it can be difficult for us to relate to the stories in the Gospels. So much has changed in the intervening 2,000 years that it can be hard for us to understand what people were thinking or why they were acting as they did. But today, Jesus has caught his disciples, all young adults, talking about which one of them is the greatest. Left to talk amongst themselves, the topic they landed on was which one of them is the best. And when Jesus caught them, none of them would own up to it. Does this sound familiar? Except for the fact that people were walking somewhere, which doesn't happen today, this could have happened here today. There's probably a group of people right now at a college football game talking about which one of them is most likely to be called down to the field when the coach calls an emergency. So why is that? Why are we humans so caught up in our own greatness? The letter of James actually tells us a little bit about ourselves in that respect. He contrasts the wicked and the righteous. He says where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. He says that the wars and conflicts come from our passions and make war among us. The wicked are always at least one step from true joy because they're too close to their own vices. They're unwilling to let them go, and as a result, they cannot achieve true happiness. They get exactly what they deserve. But the righteous also get exactly what they deserve. The fruits of wisdom are pure, peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, and good fruits. In other words, the righteousness leads to more righteousness, and wickedness leads to more wickedness. James really isn't saying anything that we didn't already know, though, is he? If you focus on the good, you try to achieve the good things will happen. You will find the good. If you're focused elsewhere, you won't achieve those same good things. Our reading from the Book of Wisdom adopts that same principle. The reading is an imagination of how the wicked might respond to the righteous. So it's sort of pretending what the wicked would say to the righteous. So the wicked want to torture the just one to see how he'll react and whether or not God will actually save him. And look at how they mock him. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. You can almost hear in these same words the people at the foot of the cross. If he's truly the Christ, let him come down from the cross. So their wickedness only leads to more. They're so caught up in their own sins that they can't even see the good in the just one. Instead, they want to mock and torture him to see if they can defeat him before God is able to save him. So now back to the disciples. I'm certainly not attempting to say that the disciples, by focusing on their own greatness, are the same as a wicked person who wanted to see Christ die. But that is certainly the risk that Jesus is warning them about. My desire to focus on myself leads me down a path where the only thing that matters is me, where I'll do what I need to succeed, even if that means pushing you out of the way, or deriding you, or using you. If I take that one step towards elevating me over you, it becomes much easier for me to take the second step, and the next one, and the next one. My vices beget more vices. So what's the alternative? Jesus actually tells it to us today. If anyone wishes to be first, he should be the last and the servant of all. It's almost a direct response to what James and Wisdom are warning us about. The answer is to break that habit of looking inward, to focusing on me, to seeking out what's best for me, to look to you. Instead of trying to demonstrate how great I am, how about I focus on how I can lift you up? Instead of the two of us arguing about which one of us is better, how about we work together and help this third person over here who needs a little help? Works of charity, mercy, and love, they're the virtues that will lead us truly to God. And adopting that mindset of the servant is how we'll find that true happiness. That's what Jesus means when he says, if we want to become the first, we'll become the servant of all. That's the way to eternal happiness. It's found in the placing of the needs of others above our own. There's so many people in our church and our community that we could look to as examples of this, who emphasize or who exemplify this mindset of the servant so well. I want to use one group as an example. If you've ever been to the Catholic Charities Neighborhood Center on 18th Street here in Wheeling, you know you will find a group of volunteers and a group of workers who truly care about their neighbors, who place the needs of their neighbors above themselves, and who serve their neighbors not because it makes them feel better and not because it makes them look better, but because that's their mindset. Their mindset is to serve their neighbors over themselves. They meet their neighbors where they are, they provide them what they need, and they do so in a way that makes their neighbors feel loved. That's what Jesus wants of each one of us. He wants us to place our neighbors first. And the workers and the volunteers at the Neighborhood Center are some of the most inspiring examples of that that I've seen and that you will find in this area. As an aside, tomorrow, the Neighborhood Center is holding its annual spaghetti dinner. It is its annual fundraiser that benefits the work that is done through the Neighborhood Center. If you're so inclined, I'd invite you to stop by, eat, and support the work that the Neighborhood Center does on the daily basis. Or if you're able, I'd encourage you to consider volunteering at the Neighborhood Center. There are many people in our community who could use a little bit of a boost, and whether you volunteer one day a month, or just once, you'll be serving another in the way that Jesus wants us to serve each other. Finally, just as an aside, this week hit a little bit even closer to home for me. The word servant that Jesus uses in the gospel, the Greek translation, the root word would have been diakonos. The word diakonos is also the same root word where we get the word deacon. And so whenever you ask a deacon what a deacon does, the first thing that the deacon ought to talk about is being a servant. The word that we actually name ourselves, the word that we are called by, means servant. It ought to be the thing that we are known for the most. And so I needed this gospel reading as much for me as for anybody else. And I believe that it's the Holy Spirit guiding us, because this is not my usual weekend to preach. And so when Fathers Saplinski and Father Penn and Deacon Doug and I talked about which weekend it was, I believe that the Holy Spirit was guiding me to look at a reading in a little bit more close detail, to understand how it is that I'm supposed to be that servant too. So if you ask me, the Holy Spirit really does speak to us through our readings, and sometimes even more clearly than we would like. So in short, though, I hope that we will all work this week on identifying ourselves better as servants and finding those ways that we can place our neighbors first. I will try, and I'll certainly be praying for you all as well.